alternative is out there. WCSB Cleveland, 89.3 on your FM dial.
Alrighty, the new Travis Larson Band CD, something entitled Shift, and we heard Shift. Speaking of the Travis Larson Band, Mr. Dale Moon, Miss Jennifer Young, and Mr. Travis Larson, and they're killing me because everybody's got their phones and they're filming this.
Well, you know, you gotta, if people are gonna UPS us at the shows, YouTube, it's YouTube, right? That's the new technology, the YouTube. It's not UPS, that's a slower technology. If people are gonna do that at the shows, then we're gonna do it to you here at your show, Randy.
No, wait, I don't do that. I'm lucky I can even get my phone to take a picture.
Yeah, put the camera down, Larson.
I was wondering if you had an extra charger so I didn't run my iPhone down. But anyway, people are fascinated by that. Hi, world. How you doing?
Hi, Randy.
Hello.
Hi, Randy.
It's great to see you guys. Dale.
We are happy to be back in Cleveland, and this is the first time in 2 years with a new record. So
was sound design that long ago?
Sound Mind.
Sound Mind. Where did design come from?
It's a good title, too.
Yeah. Almost a compliment, really.
No brain, no pain.
It's more of a sound design than an album, really.
Is that what Nigel has to say?
Right, exactly. 2011, Sound Mind came out, which we did really well for us. We were in the Guitar Player Magazine's editor's top three.
Wow.
At the end of the year, yeah.
Now, what do you think is going to happen with this one?
Coasters, mostly. Coasters.
Yeah. You think?
No.
World domination and coasters.
Yeah, exactly. People are like, what are these things? We have MP3s now.
We're taking the world over one coaster at a time.
Yeah, now there's
one coffee table at a time.
That's a TLB t-shirt right there. One coaster at a time. We have actually some really big plans. You notice, normally, Randy, we would go out and we would play for quite a while, and eventually we would get to Cleveland.
Yes.
But this record, last night, was our first gig on the record, and it was kind of a warm-up gig out at World of Music in Erie, Pennsylvania. We flew into Cleveland the night before that, and tomorrow night at Wilbert's is our Cleveland gig and our first club gig of the tour. Did I just get louder?
You did.
I did.
I noticed that you were down a little bit in the mix, and you're like really mellow today.
Well, it's early.
You haven't awakened yet, have you?
His cranberry apple raspberry has not kicked in yet.
But
I sound like
toxic.
An NPR.
That cranberry apple raspberry is really tasty.
It's very good.
It's really a nice juice.
It's tasty.
Cranberry getting into all the other juices.
Is it going to be a long day?
Anyway, point of the story was, I want you to know, we decided to kick the whole thing off in Cleveland.
Wow.
So here we are, and it's all your fault, Randy.
I know. I'm sorry.
You started the whole thing off. So clearly,
I'm sorry.
We are here first to see you all, and then we are going to go try and experience the rest of the world. But we started here. California people are irritated with us because we haven't played California yet.
Wow.
And
That's perfect.
But
that's the way it should be. The sun rises later where you're from than where I'm from. So this just follows suit.
Right. Well, and our original plan was...
Think about it, Jen.
You like that look on my face? Wait, what?
We were going to start in New York last week and work our way across, and then some plans for later in the year are starting to come together that I don't want to talk about yet in case things change. But we've got lots and lots of dates that we're working on right now. And we've got lots of plans for you people out there. So.
And there's all of next year, too.
Yeah. And the year after that.
And then the year after that.
I hate to burst your bubble.
This is, we're not making any more records after this.
Yeah, this is it.
Oh, this is it? The band just.
We finally got the mix on the drums right, and we're done.
Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but there is something that we need to say here, is the fact that you guys are an instrumental band.
Yes.
So they don't do world tours?
Well, no, instrumental bands or fusion bands, we do one tour that never ends, as you
know. Is that how it works?
Yeah, most of, like, you listen to the Jazz Cats over the years, it's like you never stop touring.
You never stop touring, you just can't put a couple dates together.
Exactly.
Okay.
You fly 3,000 miles to play one date, and then 2,400 miles somewhere else to play the next date.
Yeah. Hello, Cleveland.
Exactly. We figure we're probably only spending about $3,000 or $4,000 just to come see you, Randy.
Well, perfect. The way it should be. I guess I got to buy dinner.
Huh? Yeah. It's the TLB bankruptcy tour.
This is the whole tour. We're not doing any more dates. We're just going back home and working on the next record.
Exactly.
Perfect. Just came to see you first.
That is wrong at so many levels, guys. Really, just wrong. But I do have to say, congratulations on the new CD, Shift.
Thank you very
much. Thank
you.
And we were talking before we went on the air, of course. It's almost like a drummer's record. Dale is so far out front now.
Well,
he's actually showcasing.
In a reasonable way.
So is this like the Dale retrospect or tribute, and he's out next week?
Well, you know, we had some early records like Suspension where I thought Dale was a little too out front on that record. But this record, I think we got just right.
I think so.
Yeah.
It is a great sounding CD, and we're going to have lots of it today.
Yeah, I think it's the best one we've done so far. And people keep coming back saying, you know, we loved the last record, and this one's even better, and you guys keep getting better, and I don't know how you do it. And we just trying to, you know, do what we feel like we want to do every time and try and get better at doing it. But, yeah, quite frankly, I'm not sure how we do it either, because, you know, it's not that every record is that great in our eyes, because you're never great in your own eyes, but trying to evolve, you know, as an instrumental artist that's been playing for 15, 16 years with the same exact trio, it's not an easy thing. So you got to keep incorporating new things into the music.
Yeah, that's scary. 15, 16 years?
Well, yeah.
It's unheard of.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
It simply isn't done.
What did you say?
I said it simply isn't done.
Oh, yes.
I can't hear you, Dale.
And that's that real nice EV microphone he's talking on, too.
Yeah, we're using a...
Yeah, but it's a drummer operating it.
So we got a couple RE20s here.
320s.
Oh, are those the 320s?
Yeah.
Oh.
Nothing but the best.
Those are the high-dollar mics right there. I feel like Larry King.
You look like Larry King, minus the glasses.
Boom.
Oh.
I left my glasses back at Chris's house.
You want to borrow mine? I just put them down somewhere.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't get an impression out of Trav on that one.
You need glasses because your arms are no longer long enough.
What does that mean?
Really?
You know what they say about guys with long arms.
They don't have to bend over to put their socks on. I don't know.
Well, I have really long socks.
What? Show is off the rails. In
less than 2 minutes. Or
it took a few minutes, yeah. Well, it is great seeing you guys. You're in town. You're in town for a while now, aren't you?
Well, a couple of days. Like I say, we wanted to come see you guys and hang out. And this is kind of a specific trip to do that and kind of keep the whole
You'll
thing
regret
out.
That, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Randy is threatening to take us to Melt later, which is, we saw it on Man vs. Food, where they basically pour 4 pounds of cheese on top of some various meats and grill the whole thing, and then they bring out the defibrillator, and you get your own cardiologist when you come through the door, I hear.
Well, that's why it's expensive, is they have the ambulance parked up back.
Dries up the costs.
It does.
Right, exactly.
But, he's actually the owner of Meld. I don't know him personally, but he is good friends with, I believe, our GM.
Oh, gotcha.
So they...
General Motors?
General Manager? Close enough.
Great minds.
Next.
GM, golly, Moon.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. Once again, Travis Larson, Jennifer Young, Dale Moon, then the Moon reference.
Hello.
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 Okay, let's play a song.
Yes, we're going to get into some more music. What am I queuing up, by the way? And number, you know, two. Which one of the many, many discs here am I using?
Oh, let's play. Let's keep playing some Shift stuff because people have heard the other records. Jen says number two, but I
number two.
Yeah, okay, number two.
Does Jen know what the title is? Point and Balance.
Point of Balance. This is our Steve Morse influenced tune. It'll be obvious of to balance. Any Steve Morse fans.
Alrighty. We're here with the Travis Larson Band, 216-687-3515. Boy, Travis, you are really mellow today.
Well,
you've never come in this flatlined.
I had instructions to be nice and respectful today.
And who made you do that?
Who do you think?
Dale.
Yeah, Dale.
No, I said to Travis, I said, can we talk about music on this show for a change?
Wow.
But I'm flattered that you think I have any pull among these two at all.
Yeah, I get that, Dale. I really do. Alrighty, the Travis Larson Band. Tomorrow night at Wilbert's and Sunday night at Griller's?
In Parma, yeah.
Which I keep on screwing that one up. Yeah, Griller's.
It's a little place in Parma, which we did as kind of a filler gig last time, and it was so great. They brought so many people out, and they treated us so well that we thought, let's go back, and great people run that place.
Well, you know, it's really funny, because you don't know anything about the area, but Parma is considered a blue-collar kind of city.
Mm-hmm.
A very hardworking city. They like their meat and potatoes, more of a beer crowd than a martini crowd, I would say.
Right.
So for them to accept an instrumental band, a fusion band, it should be country western.
Ah, I gotcha.
But it's not, and it's fantastic to see that you guys had done so well there.
Well, I'll mention the Wilbert's gig. We've got our good old buddy Doug Johns playing with us. So
yeah.
You know, that's a Cleveland staple we have to always try.
Uncle Dougie.
We got to play with Dougie when we can. And it's been, I can't remember if we played with him last time, but I haven't seen Doug in a while, so we're really looking forward to playing with Doug.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm smoking right now.
Yes.
Point of Balance. Very cool stuff. I love the disc.
Oh, thanks.
Absolutely wonderful. I can go on record and say that my wife didn't like it, and then she actually got to sit down and listen to it, and now she's a big believer in it.
Well, welcome. Nice. That's the story of America, right? My wife didn't like it.
It usually ends there, but now she likes it, so I have to fight for the disc.
It's certainly the story of fusion. My wife didn't like it.
We actually we see a few females at the shows these days, but yeah, it's still predominantly a certain crowd.
You think?
It's men of a certain age.
Yeah. Well, Jen was asking while Point of Balance was playing, did I get to see the Aristocrats this time? No, don't bother. I'm short. All the 6'5" guitarists, guys that are bigger than Travis, taller than Travis, run up to the front of the stage, and you can't tell there's a band on the stage because the stage is only about 6 inches or a foot high.
Ah, gotcha.
It's a nice little venue, but not when everybody jams the stage.
Right.
That's what it feels like working closely with the drums next to Marco Miniman. You're just he's towering over you.
He's a monster, isn't he?
Yeah, it's something. You go in expecting the world, and then you're just shocked at how good he is.
Yeah. I remember years ago, the drummer Tony Royster had a gig here at Nighttown, and it was during one of the drum camps that they had. And he invited one of his mentors up on stage, Steve Smith.
Oh, geez.
So Steve sat down and then pretty much opened up school. I felt so bad for poor Tony because he just kind of just shook his head and kind of wandered out of the room with his tail between his legs. And he's an excellent drummer. He's very good. But Steve is just at a different level.
He's one of these days transcendent guys.
Yeah.
Well, when we finished that tour, then we went in to start working on the new record.
Did they inspire you?
Oh, well, the story is that, you know, Dale started working up this material, and he broke his kick drum pedal one day, and it was in a part that was not easy to break, and he had never broken that part before.
There's
right?
These hardened steel shafts of the beaters of the bass drums. It's just not something you're used to seeing. It just broke in half. It was just...
So he's like, well, I can't figure out why that broke, you know, and we thought about it, and it was like, well...
It had to be a Marcoism.
Well, Marco was playing that pedal for a week.
At first, I was thinking Marco was using my drums, and I was thinking, what if that happened when Marco was playing? That would have been horrible. But then I went, wait a minute, I think that happened because Marco was playing. They probably played more notes on those pedals in three shows than I have in my entire career.
He really is a monster.
Yeah. And he somehow channels all that frenzy into a really musical direction. That's the thing that really strikes you about him. It's not, you already expect the inhuman, you know, technique and coordination, but the fact that it's so, has so much personality. And like, I was about to use the word whimsy, and I'm just going to use it. There's whimsy, Randy.
Hey, hey Randy, I just got a text from somebody that says, pick up the phone.
Wow.
Who are we picking up?
Yeah, man.
All right, now I'm going to have to put headphones on. It's funny because the entire band has headphones except me.
It was Jason, who is one of our EV reps in Cleveland, and hosting us and doing our sound on Sunday night.
All right, we got Jason as well.
Hello?
Jason?
Randy?
You're on the air, Jason.
Are you coming to... lunch tomorrow then or no?
Oh no, we're gonna take him off the air on that one. But we'll be back with Jason in just a minute.
Wow. Hi, Grape.
Wow.
We'll make him decide soon, Jason.
They're gonna beat me up, aren't they? But it is great having you guys back in the studio.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thanks for having us.
And you know, Jen, now we got a bone to pick with you.
Okay.
Because you got these, you know, tiny little hands.
Yes.
And you're getting so much sound out of that bass.
Mm-hmm.
Her rig keeps getting bigger.
Yeah.
Is that what's going on?
Actually, for recording, I run direct. Yeah, with a little bit of compression. So, I don't know. It's just magical. It's just magic. Flows right out of them.
It's a Mark bass compressor, right?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
The Mark bass compressore.
Well, what's amazing is how much you've grown as a bass player. You know, I guess I can't say that because the entire band has gotten that much better over the years.
Right.
And you're just following suit.
But yeah, but if you ask our original polka listening audience that, they would disagree with you.
polka listening audience?
And we've been drifting further and further from our roots.
Right.
Oh, no. Do I want to know?
I'm not sure there's anything there.
All right.
Just walk right by.
Yeah, I think that when we started out, you know, you're looking at 15 years of growth as a band, and we were a lot younger, and I think that just, you know, with life experience, you do grow, and you end up putting that into your music, and that happened kind of with all of us. And I think certainly with me more because I've just opened up to those emotions and those things that come along with life experience.
Okay.
That was too heavy, huh?
Yeah, it was.
I'm from polka to... Sorry.
That was exactly what I was thinking, too.
I'll stay off the mic.
Is she drinking her coffee?
She has coffee. That's why there's an intelligent conversation going on through her microphone.
Well, you never used to drink coffee, did you?
No, and I don't, you know, a whole lot. It's just something...
So what happened? We converted you now?
No. Well, maybe. Mark Storm happened with our Electro Voice clinics and the Starbucks that he offers at those.
That's Mark. True. I drink coffee now, and it's just because of Mark.
Mark could wire caffeine. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You know, both of you guys sound like your voices are going a little bit. Like
mine
you both
is.
Have this kind of smoky bouquet happening.
I'm dying to cough, but I don't want to do it right on the mic.
I think I was telling Randy, we were up till 3:30 this morning hanging out, and so we're a little tired.
What hanging out in band terms, in this case, actually means hanging out.
We were actually just hanging out, talking about
It's not Mexico. A euphemism for.
And it, what was funny is you're hanging out with the ex-drummer from Doug Johns.
Yes. Chris.
Yes.
Yeah. And I can't even say he's the ex-drummer. He is just the guy that has decided to focus.
Well, he's
his life in a different direction currently.
He's just decided to be responsible for a few years.
I couldn't have put it any better.
But we're hoping that he'll do the opposite of grow up eventually and come back to us.
Yeah, you hate to see that happen to a guy as talented as Chris.
I know.
That growing up thing.
We'd love to see Chris regress back with us.
He threatened to call in at some point.
Oh,
so
no.
Maybe if we talk about him enough.
Well, yeah, somebody
he's
else
mowing
is.
The lawn.
That's true. See what we mean about growing up?
I'm telling you.
A lawn. How do you get a lawn?
A lawn doesn't need cutting until it's growing in the windows. Then it's time.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's where I grow my lawn. I live in an apartment.
I feel like if I had a lawn, I would be too grown up.
Yeah, where you guys are at, you don't grow a lot of lawn on sand.
That's true. We don't.
And your backyard is the beach.
Yep, yep. We live in San Luis Obispo, California, which is right between L.A. and San Francisco. And that's that. That's where we live. That's where they make Ernie Ball Music Man guitars. How's that for a professional segue, Randy?
And you're playing Gibson Ernie. And Fender.
Yeah. Only for Halloween.
Well, Ernie Ball Music Man, they've been very good to you guys.
They have. In fact, we are going to go do a thing for them next week. It's not a public thing, so I can't really promote it, but we're going to go go do a kind of a private industry clinic thing with those guys and get to hang out with them a little bit. That's always a good hang because those guys are kind of like family to us. We've been playing their instruments for years, and I'm going to go hang out with Petrucci and some of the other guys. And
Andy McKee.
It's as big and exciting a thing there is that you can't talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, is it kind of unnerving to be hanging out with guys like Dave LaRue, Steve Morse, John Petrucci, playing in front of them?
Only Dave LaRue. No. No, Dave is like really good buddies with us, and we do... we're actually, again, stuff that's not set in stone yet, but there's some things with Dave in the works for later in the year.
Oh, good. Hopefully that will work out for you.
He's got a trio that goes out. He's on the G3 tour for most of the summer.
Oh, wow. So,
it's not really G3. I guess it's just Steve Morse Band out with the Joe Satriani. So it's funny because we know every single person on that tour. Joe Satriani's band is now
Beller,
half of the Aristocrats, and Mike Keneally. So, it's kind of funny because we've toured with all those guys. And so we're going to definitely try and hang at one of those shows. Sorry, I just kicked your table.
That hurt. Ow.
Are they coming through Cleveland? Do you know?
I haven't heard yet. I'm hoping.
Seems like they would.
Yeah. Well, we had a snag a few weeks ago. The Aristocrats were supposed to call in. And we set up properly through the management company. And Brian forgot.
Well, I just talked to him before I got here, so
and we're going to give Brian a rash of trouble.
Maybe it was just you, Randy.
Well, what was really funny is he forgot and he was very upset. So he comes down here and says, "Oh man, I screwed up. I forgot."
Yeah, no, he
relax, Brian.
Brian's great.
He is, and you were saying in a previous conversation we had about the Aristocrats. I didn't realize Brian is doing so much of everything for that band.
Well, he's kind of the force business-wise behind them right now. But those other guys are so busy. I think both Marco and Guthrie both play with Steve Wilson, is it? Who's from Porcupine Tree.
Mm-hmm.
And
Steven Wilson has become... his own entity. He has just taken off in so many different directions.
Yeah, those guys are all so busy. I knew Brian's literally been on the road playing with the Aristocrats or Joe Satriani or his own shows for like I think the last several months solid. Like he hasn't been home, and then he's continuing, basically for the rest of the year. So
good for him.
And there may be some TLB Aristocrats action in the future, so keep an eye out for that. But
wow,
I won't divulge too much of that since again.
Probably not in Cleveland by any shot, but...
Wow, that's why we come here special.
Special.
We come here just to see you, Randy, and hang special. Out and play Wilbert's and see the folks and go to lunch with Jason.
Absolutely.
Is he still on hold?
Oh, I No, but the phone is ringing. I got to
ring in there. Let's see who that is.
We're going to have to hit a tune and answer it.
Yeah.
Dale, you feel better now?
Yeah.
Don't step there.
Yeah, I didn't just take up coffee. I took up smoking, too.
No. Oh, no.
I didn't.
Was that a lung we saw on the floor?
It's okay if I leave it here?
We don't need any more, but thank you.
Let's play track 9. Is that,
Absolutely.
Is that the Watchman?
I have 9 queued up, and I don't have glasses on.
I'll tell you about it if I know it's... that's Watchman, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So this song... live is a quite a challenging thing to do because there's 2 consecutive whammy pedals used for the guitar geeks out there in this song.
2 whammy pedals?
Yeah, the opening of the song is a drop D acoustic, and the opening in the bridge is drop D acoustic, and then the rest of it is standard tuned electric, and there's this crazy cacophony of whamminess in the chorus. So there's a bits of the song where after these transitions between drop D acoustic and full-on standard electric whammy craziness. And so I've been messing with all kinds of crazy Digitech electronics to figure out how to do that. And I'm getting close. It's an experiment every night.
I think it took him longer to describe it than it did for him to learn to play it.
Where was cacophony of whamminess when we were naming this thing?
Well, I don't want to sound too commercial. I mean, I love Digitech, but come on. This song is called Cacophony of Whamminess.
This concludes the Digitech plug.
Very good. All right, here's the Watchman. The Watchman.
Watchman.
Very cool.
That's kind of our answer to like the superhero action movie kind of theme thing with like some crazy 70s cop show progressiveness thrown in. But
yeah, but how can it be crazy when it's got an acoustic guitar?
Exactly.
How that like it? Gives it credibility.
That's the thoughtful moment when the superhero is considering his reason for being super.
Did you ever see the movie Unbreakable with Bruce Willis? And
what a fantastic movie!
So
that was really a twisted plot.
Yeah, if you listen to that song, and at the end when all the orchestration and craziness is going on, just picture a guy in like a raincoat silhouetted with like rain pouring over him, you know, in the, like a dark alleyway,
lightning striking.
Yeah,
exactly. After he's just saved lives.
Right, exactly. So.
That was the thought process.
Or Dale after he barked out a lung.
Barked out a lung.
Well, now wait, who's that guy in the alley? Or better yet.
Oh my.
That was nice.
Hairball.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes, I have a dog.
That was a quality sound effect
that's
Mr.
a talent.
Mr. Aller. You have to teach us that one.
Too many years. But the disc is called Shift.
Shift, yes.
Shift. And I have to say...
available on TravisLarsonBand.com, Amazon.com, iTunes, and a retailer near you.
I think it's the best disc so far.
Oh, thanks.
It is
thanks.
Really good.
And you're not just talking about our band, right?
What's that?
It's the best disc so far of
the
all
best
the discs
yet made.
Okay.
By anyone.
If Travis right. says so.
Since the history of discs...
Coasters.
Right.
This is the best coaster. I put a drink on it last night. Nothing spilled. Amazing.
But yeah, we tried to go a little bigger on production on this record, and we tried to make it, with that in mind, also make it a little more immediate sounding, not going for like the huge 80s drums and all that kind of stuff and make it a little more like, it's kind of a weird combination of the band sounding immediate in a room, but also adding some kind of orchestral production and stuff that we always do a little bit of that, but we got kind of more heavy into it this time.
It worked.
Thank you.
But I mean, with the technology, with your ability to write better songs, let's say, I don't know if you're writing better songs.
Wait.
We like to think he is.
I mean, okay, but then it says that the other ones weren't any good. No, and now that I've just painted myself into a corner,
yeah, let's
I
know see you
just completely. I know you hate to compliment me.
And I am tap dancing like a madman here, but yeah, the production is fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Compositionally, wonderful.
And we've again, recorded and mixed. We have a studio in San Luis Obispo, California, Avalon Recording Studio with our engineer, Kip Stork. And Big Kip. You know Big Kip, right?
I know Big Kip.
Yeah. Kip he takes a vacation every time it's time for us to make an album. And then he comes back and gets involved with a mix down. But basically, we have this place that he rents out and makes his living off of to other bands. And I think I've mentioned before, Johnny Anderson lives in town and has used it for some Yes stuff and various other acts. And then when it's time for TLB to make a record, Kip went, I think, to Cabo San Lucas on a cruise this time. So, comes in, mics up the drums, disappears for 2 weeks, then comes back. And are you guys done?
What you should have told them is, no, we decided to wait till you got back.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Now, but we worked him so hard in the early days. We built that studio with him back in 96, 97. And we back then, we didn't have automation and all that kind of stuff that you have now. Kip was literally hunched over a tape machine, to punch-ins and outs and all that kind of stuff. And it was like, you'd sit there for brutal amounts of time.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Trying to do that stuff. And you couldn't edit back then, so everything had to be
played.
Played, yeah. Not that it doesn't get played now with us, but it is great that you can do multiple takes of something, decide which one you like after the fact, and you're not necessarily committing to something to tape the first time, and if you go over that, it's gone forever, so you have to get better every time. With digital, you can do a lot more. Let's try another take and see if we get better. If we don't, we'll keep the first take and that kind of thing.
Well, even worse, digital editing did exist, but just not for us. It was just expensive, so the standard existed of that kind of perfection, and we were trying to make that happen on tape, on ADATs, so like, you still had to try to reach that level with the limitations Trav's talking about, where you can't keep several takes and pick from them. It was a nightmare.
I submit that we did not.
Did not what?
Hold up to that level.
Oh, yeah. A strong argument can be made that we did not.
I don't know. Every time the Travis Larson Band has put out a disc, it's always been the best one.
Oh, well, that's all you can hope for.
But there's always improvements compositionally as well as production-wise.
Yeah.
It's always an improvement from the last one. So, every disc you guys have put out, I thought Sound Mind was the best one you guys had ever done. You'll never top it. You did.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you.
So, really is a great-sounding disc.
Thank you. It's an interesting balance in today's day and age, too, being kind of on the teetering edge of being old school and new school, that the engineering techniques now and the mastering and everything is so geared towards iTunes and, iPods and digital stuff, and they just compress the heck out of everything, that trying to have a dynamic-sounding instrumental band and not kill the life out of it, it's an interesting line to walk, and also be commercially viable and hold up against other stuff out there, as opposed to sounding like something was done 20-25 years ago. So
well, then let's put you on the spot for a second then.
Okay.
Do you listen to other music? You're creating a lot. The three of you. Do you guys get to explore other musics, listen to other things?
Yeah, I listen.
Besides, or is it kind of limited?
No, I listen to everything. And that goes back to, again, talking about production here and things like that. You listen to, like, say, the last Foo Fighters record, and how you know, something very commercial like that, and how loud they get those records now and all that kind of stuff. But also, again, trying to create you know, a performance of a trio fusion band on a record, which is a different animal, but you also don't want to be so far out of the ballpark that everything you release sounds like it was done in 1978 on analog tape. I mean, if you know,
but the analog sound, it's like the 70s fashions. It's coming back.
Right, right.
But a lot of record labels or a lot of artists are now putting out limited edition vinyl.
That's true. That's true. The balance, I guess, is being able to get those tones, but also getting it to sound current at the same time, and that's where it's kind of a challenge. So, and you know, I mentioned the last Foo Fighters record that was actually done on tape, and but then again, like I say, it's slammingly loud, you know.
I've noticed that while driving, a lot of times I have the bass actually like a -4, mm-hmm. which I like bass, but not when it overrides everything, even at like a zero level, a normal mix in a car stereo.
Jen's looking at you right now going, no idea what you're saying, Randy.
You're saying less bass? Is that what you're
saying? -4, you said?
-4. And it's still just the vehicle. Yeah. So they're actually mixing the music really bass heavy.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, it's no longer a mixed. The mix
flat.
Is not
right.
Mixed. It's not like
and one
proportionate.
Thing,
that's the word I'm looking for.
Right.
Proportionate to the other instruments.
And one thing that's been really important for us is to have an organic sound in our records, but also current, so that it doesn't get. You know, this is getting pretty geeky, but Jen wanted to talk about music.
hey, don't blame this on me.
But you know how everything now EQ wise is so scooped, and it's not, you know, it's pretty synthetic sounding. You know, next to say a real band with tube amps and microphones and that kind of thing, going back to like the tape analog sound. So the dynamic of a band like that. You know, it's hard to kind of try and run that balance, but we try not to sound too old school, but also not overly scoop and cut frequencies and make everything sound, you know, like monotone and one dimensional, I guess.
Well, when you figure a live band, you're not going to know the difference between a solid state band and a tube amp kind of band. You're not going to be right. able to tell the difference because typically in a club, the volume is so loud that you can't hear the subtle differences.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
But I've heard now that Travis Larson has turned way down. So it's like Travis Larson unplugged playing electric instruments.
Where'd you hear we turned down?
Yeah. Ask the people at the show last night if they thought it was quiet.
Oh, no. Is that what I heard?
Bleeding ears.
Is that what I heard in Ohio?
Jen literally at some point last night takes her monitor and just turns it towards me because there's so much guitar in it.
We didn't have separate mixes for front of house and monitors, so he couldn't turn my monitor down. So that's what I did at Wilbert's one time.
Yeah.
Just turn it.
Sometimes you'll see her, she'll just stick a rag in the horn of a monitor.
Well, if the sound guy can't fix it, I will.
That's true.
Wow.
Those are the old school ways of mixing. Just walk the monitor over to somebody and set it down.
Okay, Travis, got to ask you now. Do you have the actual CDs or do you download the music?
For the most part, if it's something that I really want, I always get the CD. Like a new Rush record comes out, I get the CD. You know, a friend of mine, you know, if anybody that we know comes out with a record that we really want to hear, you know, a Steve Morris or a Dave Martone or you know, like the Aristocrats, we just got their new record. You know, luckily I get hooked up sometimes, but if I don't, I'll go buy the record and actually want to look at it. You know, I'm an old school guy. I like to read the liner notes and all
absolutely.
That stuff.
Well, that's because you're putting liner notes out. That's why you want to read them.
Right, right.
Do you find a difference in quality between like a download as opposed to a recorded, a CD?
Well, nowadays, I think that you can get a higher quality download than you used to be able to. with iTunes, you know, is it the AAC versus the MP3s and all that kind of stuff? So it's not as bad as it used to be. But again, I just like having something tangible. You know, you need a place where you put all this stuff. I've seen your collection, you know, and it's cool. It's cool to have all that stuff on a shelf.
Well, yeah, and you want to know who play, especially in this kind of music when there's so many players, you want to know who played on what, you know, and who played.
Isn't it amazing how we get goofy about stuff like that?
Yeah, and if you're just listening to it, for me, I never end up knowing the song titles if I just download a record. But if you have it in front of you, you start associating the titles by visually seeing them.
And we don't even know our own song titles yet.
That's true. And you want to see the artwork, you know, all the concepts that went along with the music. It helps you form this visual along with just the audio. And I think that's an important part of the musical art.
I really do miss the albums for the artwork.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
I used to love when you'd buy an album and then you pulled the cellophane off and it opened up.
Yeah. You know what I just learned? Somebody was telling me this because we were talking about mastering volumes of albums, and ours is pretty hot this time. You know, it's right up there with the current levels with it, you know, playing a little bit of the level war game without trying to lose the dynamics of the mix. But the thing that I just learned is if you press vinyl, the louder the record, the less information you can get on the vinyl.
Really?
The way the grooves fall. I just heard this from somebody.
I think when we were at Sun Studios out in Memphis, where they were talking about the technology of record making.
Yeah, I think that's right. And that's fascinating to me. So interestingly enough, the modern records being put onto vinyl, if they try and keep them at those levels, would have to get shorter and shorter. They're louder and louder by that logic, you know. That's interesting. So you're gonna have these huge pizza pie sized records, right?
Well, I think that's why they release EPs, you know, or singles on the newer records.
Interesting.
I have to admit that I don't even have a turntable anymore, but I do have a bunch of albums still.
I have a turntable at home.
I see two in front of you right now.
There's one behind me too.
Yeah. We could get into
old
our whole,
school.
Start scratching, you and me. We could do some Run DMC stuff.
Really? I do enough of that.
Randy's scratching right now for the home listeners.
For the visual.
Yeah, for those that could see. Now you know why we don't turn a camera on.
Oh, but we do.
Face for radio. Anyway, Nightfall.
Actually, we had a request. Do we want to do that?
Well, maybe Randy wants to talk about Nightfall.
He wants to talk about Nightfall. Okay, go ahead, Randy.
I was going to play it, but I'm just around for the ride.
Oh,
so
Jason
whatever.
Wants to hear Double Tap, though.
Yeah, Jason called in during the last time I went here. Okay, let's do this. Let's play Nightfall first, and then in the next song we do after that, we'll do Double Tap. But let's talk about Nightfall real quick. Nightfall is, if TLB were to write a James Bond movie theme, this would be it. And I've got this thing on the last few records where I've been writing these tunes that are pure melody and don't have a guitar solo or any kind of solo in them, you know, or minimal stuff. So this is a tune that has absolutely no guitar solo in it, which so
for the fusion show.
Yeah, it's interesting to see if it holds up that way, but it just didn't seem to need anything when we listened to it. You know, it kind of came together the way it was, and we left it. So.
Well, that would be like intro and outro music then.
Well, maybe you should start using that.
A break song.
The pros they call it bumper music in the radio business, right?
What is it called?
Bumper music.
Bumper music? That's a new one.
In Cleveland?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We hit radio stations all the time and they say it's bumper music because they have the bumpers on either end of the show or either end of a commercial or something like that.
It must be a West Coast term.
Must be a West Coast term.
Yeah. So what we do here is we take a song everybody knows, we just chop it up and make it fit the commercial. Let me remind everybody, you're listening to WCSB Cleveland 89.3 FM. We have Mr. Travis Larson, Miss Jennifer Young, and Mr. Dale Moon, the Travis Larson Band.
That's correct.
And we got to push, because tomorrow night you guys are at Wilbert's.
We are. Wilbert's, and is it next to the stadium or the...
It's right by Progressive Field.
Okay, yeah.
It used to be called Jacobs Field. Now they changed the name.
Gotcha. Literally next door.
Old school.
And I understand that parking should be easy tomorrow because there's
The Indians
game.
Are out of town.
Yes.
And the Browns played last night.
And last time we came through town, there was a game going on, so it was just a crazy cacophony of nonsense down there trying to get into the club. But this time it should be a much easier time for people to get in and park. So don't be deterred.
Well, I got to tell you this story real quick. You'll love this, okay? I went to the fantasy drum fantasy camp.
Mm-hmm.
The kickoff show, which featured four drummers, piano, bass, guitar. It was down at the House of Blues in Cleveland, which is right down in the middle of downtown Cleveland.
Right.
With the Indians and the Browns in town.
Oh man.
Wow. Oh, it was horrible. There was so many people. And I don't like crowds a whole lot. You know, I like to be able to park.
People are just parked on the freeway with their tailgates down.
Pretty much, yeah.
Barbecuing.
All righty, here's Nightfall. We'll be back with the Travis Larson Band. Yes. All righty. I like that.
Thank you.
Haunted. And all the cameras are going again. Dale, you don't have a camera?
No, I didn't bring one.
we need footage for Facebook friends and whatnot.
Oh, no.
You know?
This is what we did on Friday.
So they know what Randy Eller looks like. And they've seen me before, but, you know.
And they're seeing you again.
But Randy Eller, really, really a sight to be seen.
Absolutely. Don't stare directly at the shirt.
For those that don't realize, I have a fluorescent green shirt on.
For those that don't realize, Randy's not wearing a shirt.
I'm this color. I'm green with envy.
Right.
Okay, the jokes get worse. But Nightfall, that was
thank you.
Different for you guys.
That was me doing my best Jeff Beck. You know, he's the reason I started playing guitar, and I always got to try and get one in there on a record, and you know, we kind of started that back with Burn Season was kind of that vibe of more of a melody song and playing with my fingers and that kind of stuff. And so that's just a continuation of that whole thing. I'll say a cool effect that I used on that particular song, not another plug, but I was experimenting around with this pedal called the Time Bender, where you can modulate the delay on a guitar sound so that it's not actually modulating the guitar itself, but the echo on the guitar is modulated. So you have a pure guitar tone, but this kind of warbly sound surrounding it.
Oh, wow.
So that's a little bit of how I got that tone there. Secret for the guitar geeks, if they want to try
it. It's not a secret anymore.
That's like the secret ingredient.
So, yeah, and, you know, of course, the fingers and the wang bar and all that kind of stuff.
The what?
that's all just controllable stuff by the player, but this was a cool effect that I used on that song. And then all the orchestration, that's another example of all that production that we were working on, which I got a full-sized digital piano as a gift from a friend of mine out in California right before we made this record. And it was one of those Korg, you know, MIDI pianos. It's a full-size piano with a wood front case, and it looks like a real piano and everything.
Oh, wow.
But it's a MIDI-able piano. And, you know, I started out on keyboards, and I always play keyboards on the records a little bit, but because I got this 88-key weighted key piano, I was, you know, spending the holidays woodshedding and trying to actually play real piano again and try and get good. So that made a little more of a presence on the record. And the tune that we'll play when we play the next tune, Double Tap, has a real piano solo on it with like rolling piano notes and everything, all the stuff that I had to completely woodshed and try and learn how to do again because I haven't played any serious piano in years.
I could not picture Travis at a piano.
Well, if I had like a tux with tails and my hair slicked back, it would work, right? Tall, skinny guy.
Nah, that wouldn't work either.
Harder to picture, right?
That just makes it a little muddier. No, right, that doesn't work.
Right now I'm wearing camo shorts and black shoes and black socks. It looks like I should be hanging out at a roadside.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's not a pretty look for you.
Should be in Parma. Ah!
No, then it would be white socks. Parma used to have a very ethnic heritage.
Gotcha.
And all the jokes for Parma were certain ethnic.
We're from California. We're not touching any of these remarks.
Yeah, we don't.
I noticed that. I'm trying to give you a history lesson here. You're going to be playing in Parma.
That's fine.
You're going to have to get a membership. I'm sorry. No honorary members.
It is funny, though, when we come to Cleveland, everybody always wants to take us out for Mexican food, or when we go anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
And we live in California. You know?
Yeah, I don't get that.
I mean, Alabama
comes to mind.
Yeah, we went there recently, and it's like, yeah, we're going to take you to a great Mexican place. And it's like, we live in California.
It was the worst Mexican place.
Wasn't very good, huh?
Like, we have a place near our studio that was there for years and years and years. And we would go in there, you know, and you get, like, the burrito the size of a baby for, like, $4, right? And these are, like, real Mexican people that speak very little English that make real food.
Street tacos.
Yeah, and that's the awesome stuff. You know, that's where we live, and those are our peeps. So when we go to
Birmingham,
Alabama, and they want to take us for Mexican food, I'm sure there's some good Mexican places there.
This was not one of them.
Well, you know, I don't want to offend anybody, but
it's not like you're naming names.
I don't think I have a lot of Birmingham, Alabama listeners.
Actually,
right now,
I believe it was Hoover, Alabama.
Gotcha.
And I believe the place was called.
Yeah. And the person that took us there was.
And the person who served you was.
Unbelievable.
So, anyway, but here you have spaghetti covered with peppermint or something like that. What's the deal? The skyline chili?
I believe it's cinnamon and chili.
Oh, skyline chili. Okay, now you eat that about 3 hours later, all your bodily functions just shut down.
Right.
And that's Cincinnati anyways, right?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, we used to go there for lunch maybe once a month.
I've had skyline chili catered to us twice when we've done this Cleveland clinics, though.
Yeah, people tell you gotta have it, you gotta have it. They don't mention the whole bodily function part that you just mentioned.
Well, it's, you know, it's food that we are not used to. Plainly and simply, we're just not used to it.
Yeah, as a species.
Well, that, yeah, too.
You're not used to a pile of spaghetti on top of
with chili
and with
and
cinnamon.
A hot dog and... A four-way, a six-way, an eight-way.
Whoa!
Chili liner.
This is public radio.
I'm only talking about their menu, but that's just not right. But yeah, it was one of those things. You know, you go and you have a tendency when you go to the restaurant. You're there. You get a certain amount of time for lunch, so you run in, you order quickly, and you always order too much.
Right. This is by design?
pretty much, you know. Give me a Skyliner, you know, a little hot dog on the bun with the cheese and the chili sauce, right, that you dip your crackers in.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty soon, those oyster crackers really do fill you up.
Right, right.
So now you've eaten way too much food.
Right.
And you're still cramming it in. I think that's one of the reasons why the function shut down, is you always overeat when you go there.
Well, following our man versus food theme with going to the Meld tonight, we recently went to Memphis and did the ribs. And let me tell you.
How was that?
They talk about those ribs down there, and, you know, you walk. As a Californian, you know, they have like out there we have a Santa Maria-style barbecue, which is kind of the West Coast thing, you know, how they do it out there. And you're stuck up about it, whether you've tried it or not, and you go around saying, you know, well, their barbecue is all slathered and stuff and blah, 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 and our barbecue is great. And those are the best ribs I've ever had down there.
The Memphis ones?
Memphis. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. They can't, I mean, it's a heart attack on a plate, but, you know, I literally, you pick up the bone and the meat just falls right off the bone. I mean, it is unbelievable.
So I'm kind of thinking the Travis Larson band comes on tour to shorten their lifespan.
That's kind of why we take such good care of ourselves at home. At home, I ride the bike. It's stir fries. It's Thai food. It's like, you know, California lifestyle, right? And then I go on the road and I follow. We book tours around the Man versus Food show. That's how we do it.
Well, that was the first thing you asked. Well, how about Mel? Jen saw it on Man versus Food. We want to go there.
That's true. That and TV or movie location sites.
Yes.
We were just.
We are going to go to the Shawshank prison.
Yeah, but don't tell them what day.
Well, come on. We get a gang.
being a TLB fan.
Yeah.
We were just in the South, and we were doing, Jen and I just did this kind of warm-up clinic promotional tour, and when we were down there, the Walking Dead TV show, you know, is all filmed. It's in filmed in a couple of real towns down there. There's no sets or anything. They actually film it in Atlanta and around Atlanta.
Wow.
So all that stuff is real. So we went down, and you have to do some serious digging because it's not public. It's not like going to Universal Studios or anything. And we got a tour of this town that was about, you know, a square block, with the mayor of the town for an hour.
Grantville,
Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and walked around, and he shows you, like, scene by scene, what, you know, here's the scene they filmed here, and here's the scene we filmed here, and there's an apartment scene in one of the episodes. I posted all this on Facebook, by the way.
So we could read it?
So you could see a video of it and stuff. But there's a scene in this episode called The Clearing Episode. I know I sound like a total sci-fi geek now, or horror geek, but there's an apartment in this thing, and this guy has maintained this apartment. He owns it, and so it's just like it was in the show. Like, there's, you know, stuff all over the walls, and there's, like, weapons on the floor, and an army cot in the corner, and he'll take you up there and let you look around. And it's just him trying to bring commerce to the town, because it's, I mean, it is a out in the middle of nowhere, nothing southern town, nothing. I mean, it is, you know, there's a train track that goes by, and there's just nothing there. These, like, 150-year-old buildings that are abandoned, kind of town, you know. Nothing but flavor in this town. But it was really fun. It was cool. So, and it was way cooler than doing something like Universal Studios, where, you know, it's all kind of, like, built and fake, and that can be kind of neat, too. But this was, like, these people in this town, you know, it's like, this show changes lives, you know. All of a sudden now there's business in this town because of this TV show. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that is always fun to see. It's like the inverse of the mining towns.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So
it doesn't happen often, though.
No, but it's interesting because in the other town that they're filming, the main town that they filmed this show in is booming. Like, I think it went from, like, 7 businesses on the street to 42 businesses or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, there's not a parking space to be found on this street, and it's just filled with people walking around with cameras and eating in restaurants and stuff.
Well, you know what amazes me is they say the economy's bad, yet try on a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday night to go to any restaurant between 6 and 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Isn't happening.
Right, right.
So at least it's good to see that there is a little bit of comeback.
Yeah. Well,
and the cool thing to see about this place was they were, like, the only town in the area. Like, we were reading articles about all these other towns becoming depressed, and this one is, like, taking off, you know, and it's all just because of this crazy TV show on a cable station, you know. So it was just kind of neat to see from their perspective. And people, you know, you've always got the one hermit guy that's not happy about it, lives in some barn somewhere. It's like, who are these people coming to my town? But most of the people were really stoked and making the best of it.
Well, they were filming The Avengers here in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And one of the communities that I'm dealing with, that I work in, they were filming a portion of the movie. And they actually had, it was, they were filming indoors. And they have maybe skylights or something. They had the large, like, boom
microphone.
Machines. No, the boom machines, like,
oh, right, right.
The ones that, if men are working on the side of buildings,
yeah, yeah, oh. Like a bucket
it'll
truck,
similar sort to of. It, yeah. They had those, a couple of those that were actually shining bright lights down into the building to be able to shoot. Doing the filming. It was,
oh, gotcha.
Something else.
Wow.
So here we are working on a road project there, and they have the tents, and all the hospitality is set up. And
right, right.
You know, they're doing all this work, and here we are screwing around trying to finish our jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't right. My boss says, you were actually working when they were filming? Well, they closed the building, but they didn't close the work we're doing.
Right, right.
But they really had a heck of a spread with all the different catering trucks and things. So they definitely dump some serious money into the local economy when they do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, now that I saw that movie, and I kind of knew that they had filmed that in Cleveland, I think, but now I'm going to have to go back and watch it again, because mm-hmm. we've spent so much time in Cleveland, as you know, Randy.
Well, it's the Avengers movie that they were filming earlier this year.
Oh, it's not out yet.
No, it's not the one that's out.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So this is the brand new one.
Well, now I just got to get ready.
Yeah.
Road movie. You
know, we're going to be checking tickets.
So yeah. I feel like I can steer us out of this movie dialogue by saying we're talking about zombies. In Zombieland, one of the main characters' rules for safety was double tap, which is...
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, you were? Okay, you continue.
No.
This just organically happened. We started talking about zombies, and we're queuing up double tap, and there you go.
I was going to say, have you ever seen Zombieland?
Is it, now, double tap, is that when, like, a finger falls off and then the
if you shoot a zombie in the head, Randy, you got to make sure you kill the brain. And you don't want to just shoot it and start walking away and it bites your ankle and then you become a zombie and it's just carelessness. So be thorough and double tap. Shoot him in the head twice. Kill the brain. Randy's just looking at me like...
Okay.
But the song, if you're a musician and you listen to the song Double Tap, it'll all make sense because listen to what Jen's playing. And then there's like some sections where I double it.
Yeah.
You see how that works?
I'm not sure it was really based on that movie, but we're drawing all the parallels.
Well, no,
we can.
It does sort of because it has another James Bond picture a guy running down the road chasing after bad guy vibe. And so he's about to double tap somebody. A zombie.
Right.
Actually.
There you go.
Wow.
And it's requested by Jason.
Yep.
Yes, we have to say hello to Jason.
And Jason, he's going to feed us tomorrow.
There you go.
We're not saying where.
Jason is also, thanks, Dale. Jason also is your sound guy here in Cleveland.
On Sunday night. And Jason is also our one of our EV rep guys and just a all-around good buddy who has helped us immensely when we've come through Cleveland, get around and that kind of stuff.
His whole work clan and his whole family clan are just great friends.
Yeah, they're nice people. They are wonderful people. Yeah. We also have to say hello to Mr. Jerry Varsa.
Jerry Varsa.
Works with...
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
The works human with the head guys, weighs works with 8 Jason.
Oh, no. And hello to Doug Johns as well. Chris Seja.
Hey, man.
Oh, we're saying hello to everybody today. You know, I hate to say it. You got more friends than I do in Cleveland.
I have more friends in Cleveland than I do in California.
That's because they don't know you very well. All righty. We're here with the Travis Larson Band, Mr. Travis Larson, Jennifer Young, Dale Moon. Guys, thanks for coming in today.
Hey, thank
you. It's great to see you. It really is. It's always...
We're not saying bye, though, right?
No, not yet.
Okay. I
not
just didn't yet. Want people to tune but, out because they might miss something extravagant.
Oh, I'm sure.
And exciting. But here is Double Tap. And all I can picture is Dale shooting a zombie twice.
Good.
Shaun of the Dead. That was Double Tap.
That was my piano solo in the second solo in that song. And a bunch of piano in that song.
I can't picture you playing piano, sitting down at a piano.
So I won't tell you who, because I don't know if they want to be recognized, but two well-known guitar players, great guitar players, have gotten, friends of mine got touch with me in the last week, and that is their favorite song on the record. Which I thought was interesting because it's, not as much of a guitar-oriented song as some of the other songs.
Yeah, but it's a little bit more of a minor key.
Yeah, kind of a, it's like a Bond thing.
Yeah, but if you listen to what's going on, it kind of wanders through the song.
But Jen is playing like a madwoman on that song. If you listen to the bass going on in the background, all the tapping and stuff that's going on.
That was kind of what I was alluding to before. Right? Yeah, Jen's become a monster.
It's so... That's what we keep saying.
Or a sick cat, one or the other.
That's my monster impression.
We keep saying, Jen's a monster.
She is.
You're right, Randy. She has become a monster. You don't even have to travel with her.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
So let me just give a big shout out to the listener.
Yes,
John,
please.
John called in and wanted to correct you.
And said, boy, he was absolutely right. Now it's coming back to me. But
that the it's the Avengers, right?
It was the Avengers. It
was filmed here, and that I was right that I had seen Cleveland in the Avengers.
Cleveland has Travis's back.
So
and now they're filming now Captain America.
Correct. Which I don't know, even know who's in that, but I remember the TV show. You remember that? The Captain America TV show with the guy on the motorcycle that would come riding out the back of a box truck. You remember that? His helmet was like three sizes too big for his body. And
sweet. Hopefully the movie will be equally as good.
Have you seen the movie Ted, the one with the teddy bear?
We recorded it, and we haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you got to watch this. It's great because there's a not even a cameo, almost a major part in this by, was it?
Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon, yeah. Like the early 80s TV Flash Gordon.
Oh, no.
And he's playing himself. It's just, it's phenomenal. It is fantastic. You have to watch this
movie. I'm going to be busting up through this one.
If you're not easily offended, you need to watch this movie.
I am easily offended.
It's a great, great flick. Yeah, I can tell.
They also recorded, or they filmed Spider-Man 3 here in Cleveland.
Gotcha.
But they did so much changing of the sets that you couldn't tell too much.
Yeah, they do so much CG stuff now where they add buildings and make cities look different. The same thing with the Batman movies. You know, it's like bits of Manhattan or bits of Detroit, I think.
That's in Gotham.
Oh, okay.
What are you talking about?
Sorry.
Manhattan.
Man Gotham.
That's like that's going to be a band in our town. You watch Man Gotham. You say something like that. There's some friends of ours that had a band called Mantooth for a while after the
guy from Anchorman. Emergency.
Anchorman. Yeah. Well, there's to him, too. Oh, now you're talking like this. You can tell who the old guy is.
I know. Yeah.
The guy, one of the guys in Emergency One back 40 years ago, his last name was Mantooth, just for you people that aren't keeping up.
Yeah.
Randy Aller.
Seems that you got the reference, though.
Yeah, but
isn't that amazing?
But I wouldn't have brought it up.
I hear I thought that's where you were going.
Anchorman, Randy.
Anchorman.
There's I never
Anchorman.
Saw that movie.
Socially relevant.
Oh, really?
Oh,
that's another
socially
great one.
That's relevant.
That's an instant classic.
Oh, he sounds like my wife. It's socially relevant, Randy.
She's a monster. She's become a monster.
Oh, yeah. What I get, though, is the 80s clothes.
Yeah?
What? You have nothing but 80s clothes. You look like you're from the 80s.
I said, well, you know, everything in the 70s has come back. The 80s are next year.
Let me just tell you how much we love your wife and how lucky you are. I remember you making fun a couple of times ago and getting into trouble, so you be careful.
And don't make me pull out the hour and a half to watch 60 Minutes of the team.
Yeah, don't mention that one.
Oh, boy. If she still tells that story, I can't believe you said that.
It was such a good joke, though. You kind of had to.
And it actually was it was more of a slam on me than it was her.
I thought you were going to.
Oh,
let me
no.
just say that as entertaining as it was that John called in to talk about the movie reference, it gave me hope that actually there's people listening that I don't know. There's actually more people listening than friends I have. And that is encouraging.
And there's hope that we're not the biggest geeks in this community.
You're probably wrong on that one.
Yeah. Well, you play instrumental progressive music for instrumental progressive fans.
Travis and his Minute Maid apple cranberry.
That's because they didn't have orange juice at the Subway, Randy.
It would be cranberry apple raspberry flavored juice beverage.
We went to, the Subways now. They have the like the egg flatbread sandwiches, which are almost like egg McMuffins. They had English muffins for a while, and they were just like Egg McMuffins, and they stopped making them. I don't know if that's because the Egg McMuffin was becoming an issue. So now you got to get a flatbread version. But anyway, the point is, on the way here, that was breakfast, and I wanted an orange juice. They didn't have orange juice, So I had this cranberry apple raspberry. It's cranberry getting into all the other
did
juices.
Did you know that they don't serve soup at the Subways in summertime in Cleveland?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We're not real big soup eaters in summer.
That's what we've heard.
That's what I...
Now, can I say the ASS word on this channel?
Sure.
So... What about ass gaskets? They don't have those either in Cleveland.
Actually, they had them at the airport this time.
Did they?
I wonder if it's because of me.
Jen turned
they
this
heard
town
you
around.
Were coming back.
We changed this town starting 5 years ago.
They said that Jen is coming back to Cleveland. It's time to restock the gasket.
The story here for new listeners that aren't following the history of TLB and Randy Aller on the Fusion Show.
So fast from an album cut to McMuffins
saga.
And ass gaskets. So fast.
Is that Jen, being a woman,
radio.
On the road with a band, could never find any restroom with ass gaskets, meaning, you know, the protective coating that you sit on.
Particularly in the Midwest.
Liners. Yeah. And so when we played here the very first time in Cleveland at the show, some fans showed up with an industrial package of ass gaskets from the hardware store. That was her gift from them. So to this day, Cleveland, let me tell you that that package of ass gaskets sits on a shelf in Jen's office.
Does it really?
Along with all of my awards.
Yeah, and her paraphernalia.
For being a monster.
Yeah. All her magazine covers and stuff, but there sit the ass gaskets from the first gig in Cleveland.
So she has a gasket hanging from each award?
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly. Actually, or are you using the gasket as like a border around the award?
She actually frames pictures of us with the gaskets. So it looks like we're looking up at her. Help me.
Poor Jen.
Yeah, poor me.
Wow.
Help.
We're plunging into some bad subjects now.
Yes, change it.
Plunging, I say.
Oh, God.
Well, what are we playing next? Are we going with
something
from the new one? Yep. Are we going to play something from a different record?
We're going to play the fusioniest tune, I think, which is called Above Below. I believe that is song 11. Is
yes.
That correct?
Yes.
Off of the new album Shift, available.
The other 11.
On TravisLarsonBand.com.
Yeah, we got to get the website in there.
Yeah, that's Larson spelled LARSON. And you can just do a Google search or you type up the www, whatever the kids do. Now you just tell Siri what you want, right?
Isn't that something?
And Siri goes ding ding.
Yeah, I now, have that on a phone, I just found out that I can text people via Siri, so I never have to type anything.
Right. And there's we have a secret Siri message for anyone that comes to the show tomorrow night. But you have to come to the show to get the message.
I'm afraid.
It's an Aristocrats reference, and we had to incorporate it into our show for future tours because it's just going to be good fun. So if you come to the show, you'll find out what I'm talking about.
What show are you talking about?
I'm talking about the show tomorrow night at Wilbert's with Doug Johns. And I believe there's one more local opener that it was...
UZZ, I think?
Yeah, it's like a huge, huge band. Like literally like 12 or 15 people on stage from what I remember last time, which was really
interesting,
really something.
Yeah
it was like I'd never seen that many people on that stage.
Oh, it's kind of like the Volkswagen, getting all the people in a Volkswagen.
Yeah Remember that guy back in the day on That's Incredible that used to fold himself into like a 1.5 by 1.5 plastic clear plastic box? Remember that guy, like a yoga guy?
And you could look at the foggy box covered with condensation and go, there's a guy in there.
Yeah, exactly. It almost looked like a display in like some kind of college laboratory.
Yeah, it was just a you couldn't see into it. You just see a couple of shin bones plastered up against the wall.
And it'd take him like 38 minutes to get into this thing and 38 minutes to get out of this thing.
I hope he wasn't claustrophobic.
So anyway, Above Below.
So now just...
Oh, sorry.
What brought that up?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm gonna Segways are for kids, Randy. Around Travis and try to connect topics.
I'm going to have to... We're going to have to review the tapes to see how that all went.
I have no idea. Dale, that one just kind of...
It's all going to get posted.
That was out there. I don't know. But whatever.
It's the cranberry apple raspberry juice is starting to kick in and my blood sugar is getting good, so...
All righty. Good. We got Travis back. And I only have 18 more minutes.
we'll try and make it as long feeling as possible for you.
Well, here is something called Above and Below. Oh, I'm not going to make it out of here today. All righty.
Yes, sir.
Above, below.
Jen, got anything?
No.
She's a monster.
Now she sounds like Bruce Willis in The Fifth Element.
No. I played a bunch of Rhodes piano on that song. That was kind of, we did a song on the last record called Fuzzy, which was sort of our 70s cop show theme. And that was, this song was kind of a continuation of that fusion-y 70s vibe.
I thought that was after me.
Well, it was for you, for your show, because it was totally fitting for this show. But yeah, on that last tune, all those guitar lines that we used in the intro, I doubled those with Rhodes piano on the second half of that bit, and then did some chords behind the chorus. I'll explain the whole process to you.
Above, Below, I think, is interesting because it's such a cool contrast between the fusion-y, you know, fast-paced we can play into this really ethereal chorus. So that's sort of the Above, Below. It's like, you know, the city.
Yeah, yeah. And that chorus, I'm using that type bender effect again to give it that kind of like slightly out of tune warbly thing happening.
Alrighty. I'll go with that.
Fascinating. Would you like to talk about your bass collection?
No.
Dale? Yeah,
I don't have a Music Man bass.
You don't?
Oh. No, I don't.
Oh, that, and he looks at me with those longing eyes. Travis.
No, not
I
really.
Don't, I
you
don't
know, it's
have
it's sad,
a Music
Travis.
Man bass, Travis.
Life has been so crazy, I haven't picked up a bass to play at all. I haven't done anything.
Fix that.
How?
I would just pick up a bass.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm working on perfecting the 28-hour day.
Yeah. I'm
not having a lot of success, though.
Give your first bass to Randy. First collection. I was just thinking, you know, Jen's got her very first bass.
That's not a Music Man.
No, it's not.
That's for sure.
It's not.
What was it?
A Gibson Epiphone.
Okay.
Bought at maybe the first Guitar Center. Mm-hmm. We're not sure. We have to look into this. But many years ago. And
wow.
It sits in a closet. My first guitar was a Sears catalog. I don't even know what the make on it was.
Oh, no.
But it's... It's like the body is smaller than a normal guitar. Like it was kind of tiny, and I painted it in several different styles when I was a kid. And then I got a better, like a white Strat version from Sears catalog after that, and that was almost a real guitar, you know. And then after that, I got a real guitar.
Did you ever think of maybe recording something with one of those old guitars? Evidently, if you have to think about it, you haven't thought about it.
I have a Blue Valley Arts, actually, that I just, I could obviously borrow it back. I just gave to one of our road guys.
Really?
Yeah.
I know somebody that might want to buy it. That was made by Gibson, right?
I don't think so.
Wasn't Valley Arts
I'm
Gibson?
I'm not sure. But I do know that Dudley Gimple, who's designed all the Music Man guitars over the last, you know, I don't know, 25 something years, whatever. He came from Valley Arts, so he was working for them before he was working for Music Man. And oddly enough, before Steve Lukather was with Music Man, he was with Valley Arts. So I have that one Valley Arts guitar that I've hung on to for years that I bought in like 1991 or something from, you know, like I think a Musician's Friend catalog or something. And, That one, you know, I could use that on a record if I needed to, because the intonation on it is decent. But those Sears catalog ones, that would just be to sound like the Ramones or something, if you wanted to do something that was just kooky.
Exactly.
That's what you're thinking, right?
That's what I'm thinking about, just to have something that's, you know,
of,
really...
Something that's out of tune.
Well, just, it's going to have probably a rough sound. It's right. Not going to sound good.
Right, right.
But I mean... That would be what you're going for, is just to have something really odd and maybe start something out with that and then have it, as the song goes on, get a little more serious and morph into the new Music Man thing.
We're flying you out to California to produce the next record, Randy.
You got it, yes. Because I've been working on my chops. I've been producing a lot of things here at home.
Right, right.
This is a very bad idea.
What exactly have you produced?
Well, I have produced much carbon... carbon monoxide.
Carbon footprint.
CO2.
Right, right.
I had to think about that, yeah. Not much else. Oh, well.
Probably the occasional decent meal.
On occasion.
Yeah. And a fabulous fusion talk show.
Sometimes.
On a weekly basis.
How many years you been doing this show, Randy?
You know, it's going to be 30 years in April.
I thought you just celebrated your 25th.
And that was 5 years.
That was five years ago. Oh, my.
Wow. Time flies, Jen.
April?
April, yeah. Remember, Jen, every time I throw another year under the bus, so do you.
Thanks for reminding me.
Every time I get a year older, you get a year older.
We need to start working on an event.
Yes, the 30-year event in April.
With that kind of notice, we can make that happen. We're going to have to...
You just need to do a song.
We're going to have to start talking about something.
You need to do the ultimate fusion tune and call it 30 years.
You know, what we need to do is come back to Cleveland and do like the Randy Aller tribute all-star 30th anniversary concert.
And I'll have both of my friends at it.
We'll play and Doug will play. And
yeah, man.
Get the Aristocrats out.
That other guy that was on the show, we'll have him play.
David Garfield will come out.
Oh, definitely, yeah. David is always... wanting to come out, see family, and perform here in Cleveland.
I'm sure
he loves that.
Yeah, we're going to have to start talking.
Hey, I got to announce a couple things.
Would you?
Yes. Like, we opened up the show today, believe it or not, with a track from the brand new Jeff Golub record.
Oh, cool.
Train Keeps a Rollin'.
Nice.
And it's been released. It features Brian Auger.
Ah, he was on the show with us. Was it the last time? Or time before last?
I think it was.
Yeah. We did the show with Brian Auger one of these times, I remember. Very, very friendly chap.
Ah, he's the best.
Yep.
But he did a wonderful job with that. It's a number of his compositions on it. Jeff's playing incredible guitar.
Yeah.
So,
And he's
yeah.
Brian Auger in the Blues Explosion, is that right?
Oblivion Express.
Oblivion Express.
You're close.
Blues Explosion. Blues Explosion, that's something I have after going to 7-Eleven for one of them Slurpees.
That would be the Skyline Chili.
And I was thinking the blue drinks that you get at the 7-Eleven.
Well, yeah, Brian was asking. He says, hey, what's the name of that band? The Travis Larson Consortium? I'm sorry, that's just wrong. But, yeah, Jeff has his new record out featuring Steve Ferroni on drums, Derek Frank on bass. That came from Brian Auger's Oblivion Express. Was the first time that we met Derek. Yeah. And, of course, none other than Mr. Brian Auger. And the voice you heard on that was Alex Lichtwood.
We've talked about him quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, he's fun. What a great vocalist. So, yeah, that's available now. It's a wonderful, wonderful record. The little bit I've heard, I really am enjoying it.
Cool.
I have to say I'm enjoying it. Next week, we're supposed to have on Mr. Tony Monaco, great Hammond B3 player, and Mr. Fareed Haq on guitar.
Nice.
That should be frightening as well.
I love B3.
I have a scheduling conflict, if you can believe this. On August 30th, I'm going to be speaking with the saxophonist that originated the band Passport.
Wow.
All 30 of their records as well. Sure. And I guess I had set up an interview with a band called Morgable.
Ah.
That was never confirmed.
You have to do that one, too.
They
are from Sweden, correct?
France.
France.
I became Frankenstein for a second.
Ah. No, you have to support those guys.
Oh, absolutely. So we're working on switching one of those dates.
In a roundabout way, we have kind of business affiliations with them through the same booking agents and stuff. So there might be a day where you see us doing some shows with those guys at some point.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
In France?
Well, we don't know. We'll see.
I'll tell you what.
Maybe
have
it's
you,
a UFO.
Have you seen any of the videos for Morgable?
They're. I haven't really checked them out yet. I have to.
They are unbelievable.
Are they?
They really are talented guys.
Cool.
And they don't take themselves seriously whatsoever. Like, when the Travis Larson band gets up on stage, they're very professional. These guys are just madmen.
Oh, gotcha.
And whatever happens, happens. It just goes.
Right, right.
But they are going on tour. They're, I believe, going to be in Cleveland on the 16th.
Gotcha.
Of September.
Yeah, friends of mine are helping promote that tour, so.
Very good.
Help a brother out.
We're going to have Mr. Danny Serafin.
Nice.
The ex-drummer from Chicago. Yep. Dale knows who that is. He's got a new band called CTA.
Yep. Saw them at NAMM.
Really?
Yep. They were playing outdoors at this new concert.
Yeah, they have a new outdoor area in front of the... you haven't seen that yet.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, in front of the center.
I'm going to have to come out that way again now. Thanks.
Yeah.
And finally, on the 27th of September, Mr. Will Lee.
Oh.
So we've been a little crazy. But
Will Lee is awesome.
I'm out of time today.
You know who else talks like Doug Johns, man? Willie does.
Willie.
Talks just like Doug Johns.
All right, shut up, Travis. He's got to go.
I cannot believe Will can keep things together the way he does. He's amazing. I give him a lot of credit. He's got a new record out. So we're getting that ready to go, and we're looking forward to that. And guys, we're out of time. We're leaving Herb with one tune. What did we leave Herb with?
Georgia. Yeah, we'll play Georgia on My Mind, which is one that we always keep in the set list. It seems to go over very well. And you can see Jennifer Young play it tomorrow night.
All righty.
At Wilbert's by the something something Stadium Park Bark Pulp.
I believe it's the Bob Feller statue by Progressive Field. That's enough of Travis.
Thank you, Cleveland.
Mr. Travis Larson Band. The Travis Larson Band. Mr. Travis Larson, Miss Jennifer Young, Mr. Dale Moon. Guys,
thanks so much.
Thanks, Randy.
And right now, something called Georgia on My Mind. Have a good weekend, a better week. Stay warm, stay dry, and we'll catch everybody again next Friday. Bye-bye, Cleveland. Mm-hmm.